Earlier this hour, we mentioned one of the boldest initiatives, or at least some of the boldest rhetoric in the State of the Union speech last night, came on climate change.
For the sake of our children and our future, we must do more to combat climate change.
But what more? The president offered some possibilities.
And 4 years ago, other countries dominated the clean energy market and the jobs that came with it. And we've begun to change that. Last year, wind energy added nearly half of all new power capacity in America. So let's generate even more. Solar energy gets cheaper by the year. Let's drive down costs even further. As long as countries like China keep going all in on clean energy, so must we.
The president speaking at the State of the Union address last night. Coral Davenport joins us, energy and environmental correspondent for the National Journal. Coral, welcome back to the show.
Hello, it's good to be here.
Do you think that the president believes that the United States is all in the way that China is all in on clean energy? And is that what he called for last night?
I think he would like the United States to be. What I thought was really interesting about the president's speech was two things. One, the way that he talked about climate change, and we heard this, of course, in the inaugural speech, too, signaled a real shift in rhetoric. In the past, when presidents have talked about this problem, they've talked about it as kind of a threat that's coming. President Clinton talked about it as kind of a gathering crisis that we'd have to address at some point in the next century. President Obama has made a clear shift in talking about this as a problem that's happening and affecting American people right now. He's talking about Superstorm Sandy. He's talking about drought. He's saying this is here, this is now. And I think that is part of trying to build a campaign of public support for the president to take executive action on climate change on his own without help from Congress. Another thing that he said in the speech is he called on Congress to act on climate change, to act on clean energy. And then he said, if Congress doesn't act, I'm going to do it without you.
Now, that would suggest that agencies like FEMA could become a way of producing federal funds and federal programs to deal with a kind of a public works program to deal with the problems of severe weather and using the EPA to increase energy production in areas that Congress doesn't want to invest in.
There's two big ways I think we're going to see the president act without Congress. Again, first, he said, you know, I'm going to call on Congress to act. I think it's highly unlikely that this gridlocked Congress will act on climate change, let alone much else that's really substantial. And then he's going to act on his own in two significant ways. The first is, as you said, with the Environmental Protection Agency. I think we're going to see some powerful regulations on the energy sector coming from the EPA probably this year. I think we're going to see regulations that will force coal-fired power plants, oil refineries, major polluters to cut their carbon pollution in a big way. I think the industry's not going to like that, but I think that, you know, the agency does have the authority to do that, and I think we're going to see and the president doesn't have to run for office again. It's politically unpopular, but he can do it. I think that's going to be
Although, let me just ask a question. Isn't the House on record saying that the EPA should not be able to use its power to enforce carbon emissions, that carbon is, by this definition of the House, not a pollutant?
The House certainly is on record. In this way, the House is not in the same place as the law. Under the Clean Air Act, the EPA does have the authority to regulate carbon pollution that causes climate change. And if the president acts on this, if he I think that, you know, all signs point to that that's what he was signaling in his speech. Absolutely, the Republican House is going to push back. They're going to do everything they can to cut the executive authority, the ability to do that. But I think that's one reason why we saw the president trying to build up a public campaign. You know, sort of, I think we're going to see the White House starting a conversation with the public about why this is a problem and why this needs to happen. And I think we're also going to see them doing a lot of outreach to industry and saying, you know, hey, we've got these regulations coming down the pike. Let's work with you. You know, let's try to make this, you know, industry's not going to like it, but I think we're going to see the White House trying to smooth that rocky path as much as they possibly can before those big regulations come, but I think they're coming.
And I think the private sector would probably love to work around Congress on some of these issues as well. Coral Davenport, thank you so much.
Sure, good to be here.
Coral Davenport is the energy and environment correspondent for the National Journal.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.